City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, February 13th, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm here, Mary Van Sickle, Executive Director here at Dakota Media Access, and I'm here with Jason Tomonic, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good. It's been a while.
It is. I feel like a stranger. We missed one of those in January.
We've had some time off in the last couple of weeks, so thanks for coming in.
Yeah, my
pleasure. And you had you made up for it last night in a marathon meeting. The City Commission had a long meeting last night.
Just under 3.5 hours.
Wow.
So get your money's worth that way.
Yeah, that's for sure. So we have a lot to talk about. But before we get into the agenda, I just wanted to make a comment about some staff changes over at the City of Bismarck. Yep. They seem to keep coming all the time.
Some new faces again.
Well, our last time together, we talked about with Carl Hockenstead, retiring community development director. That was a nice program, and it was great to have Carl in here as he said goodbye on his way out the door, pretty almost virtually out the door, right? But you have hired his replacement, Ben Arith, who's coming back to the City of Bismarck.
Coming back is right. Ben spent 7 years working in the Community Development Department with the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Left about 4 years ago, went over to the DOT, and had some leadership experience and some nice opportunities there, and he's bringing his skills back to the City of Bismarck, so we're happy to have him.
And he should start right at the end of the
month? Near the end of the month, I think the 25th of February, if that's the last Monday. So, he's already getting engaged. He's coming to meetings. We met with him again yesterday, so I think he's going to hit the ground sprinting.
Nice. That'll be fantastic.
So,
Also last night, as far as it did, this did happen at the meeting. It was announced by Commissioner Marquardt that Sheila Hillman will be retiring as well.
Right. Yep. Sheila's given her notice. She'll be done near the end of April of this coming year. So
that's another big position.
That
Sheila's done a bang-up job
Sheila's
for a long time.
Been with the city almost 20 years, and she's really guided the budget committee and many of the departments. I mean, finance for us is very much an internal support because they touch every department throughout the entire organization. And Sheila's skills are going to be, they're going to be missed, especially not long after her last day, we'll be gearing up for the budget for 2020.
Yeah, that's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, it'll be different for those of us on the budget committee, but we certainly wish her the best and thank her for all of her contributions and time. She's been rock steady.
Yeah. So the process of applying for the position, the criteria is fairly significant for this position.
It is, yeah.
Will that be advertised then?
It's already on the city's website.
Okay.
So we're looking for somebody clearly with a financial background. CPA certification is certainly something that would add some benefits to that position. So we'll see what we get. We'll see what the candidate pool looks like. It'll be up to the commission again, because this is a department director position.
Yeah.
All the candidates will interview in front of the full commission, and the five of them will get to make the decision. So we'll look forward to that, too.
Wow, lots of turnover there. Some real senior positions.
Yeah, we're experiencing what a lot of people call a generational shift. We've seen a lot of the senior leadership retire and move on, and people like myself moving into the next generation of leadership. So change is constant. We've got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, definitely.
The interviews are concluded and a decision is made. And we'll find out who that new person is.
Yeah, sometime in March, I would expect.
And like you say, they'll be hitting the ground running with budget. Consent agenda. An item that we've been talking about, we had talked about a few months ago, was a new class of liquor license for the City of Bismarck. Was already developed pretty much for this type of...
In anticipation, We were working with the business owner early on when he came in with his concept and said, hey, I've got something different that doesn't fit. So with former city attorney Charlie Whitman, we developed what is known as the Class S license. So that is, last night the action was the call for a hearing. We have a request for the license. And really what it is, it's a beer license for an arcade. Some would call it a barcade. So this is the Craftcade. It'll be on 4th Street, just north of Rosser, just north of American Bank Center, nestled between Glance Salon. My understanding is they're looking at a March open date. So we'll have to stay tuned and see what that looks like as they get closer.
And for those of us of a certain age, it was the former Ace Hardware building.
I remember it as Ace Hardware. I'd get popcorn in there with my dad.
I was just going to say, the popcorn was, very famous over there. So that public hearing will be in 2 weeks from last night.
Yep.
Okay. Also, a call for a public hearing on some zoning changes that were presented last night under the consent agenda. And that one of them was the Washington Square addition. And this is right on North Washington. So it's a very visible, big lot. Currently residential, but that's going to go through a transformation.
Yeah, my understanding is, so there's a house on about 5 acres of property. This is in the southwest quadrant of Ash Cooley and North Washington Street. The plan moving forward, I believe, is a mixed-use kind of office, light retail situation. You'll see a series of buildings moving in there. So what we had last night was a final plat and a zoning change to move forward on that next development. So this is one of the few remaining pieces of the original KMK Estates. You know, so back in the late 60s, early 70s, this area in Bismarck developed primarily as rural residential, small little ranchettes. I know when I was in high school, a lot of the families that lived there still had horses at that time. So as the community continues to grow north, we'll see more of these transitions of the properties that are left. And you can look forward to some significant changes coming up in the near future.
Again, a real visible corner in the community. A lot of traffic, heavy traffic in that area.
Yeah.
I think what's sitting there now is kind of a landmark home that people will, it's a mid-century modern kind of built into the hill way back on the lot.
Yeah, it's
very unusual and very unique piece of property. It's kind of sad to see that go.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if the plans are to try and salvage the house or move it out. My guess is that it might.
It has a matching barn.
It does.
Yeah.
It might meet its end.
It's kind of sad to see it go, but it is a very, very well-trafficked piece of property, so you can see where it would be much more valuable as a commercial property.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, and that was a call for a public hearing, so it'll come in a couple of weeks as well.
Yep.
Another one, as far as a zoning change, a call for a public hearing has to do with a school, and it originated with Bismarck Public Schools. Saxvig Elementary, that piece of property is transitioning over for a religious purpose.
Correct, yeah. So the religious group, the church group, along with the school district, is requesting a change to the zoning. They're looking at a PUD, which is a planned unit development. It's essentially, it's a one-of-a-kind, tailor-made zoning district just for the adaptive reuse of this school, you know, from a school to a church. So some changes for the neighbors, obviously, a little bit. My understanding is the existing playground is there, will come out, they'll make room for some parking and things like that. But it is nice to see life in this building. We certainly don't want to see any of these buildings fall into disrepair and sit idle and empty. So it is nice that there's another use for it for a new group. And if anybody has questions or comments, they can sure come to the hearing.
2 weeks from
February 26th.
Yeah,
you bet.
There you go. Finally, on the consent agenda, I noticed that you had an appointment to the Planning and Zoning Commission. There's been a number of vacancies on the Bismarck Planning and Zoning Commission. Right. And we were talking earlier, and you said you're pretty much at full capacity now.
Yep, I believe this will be the 11th member of the group.
Okay.
So should be fully staffed.
Last night, the appointment was made for Brian Eisman.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and Brian's got some experience in the development world. He was with a private consulting firm when I first met Brian 12 years ago. He still holds his engineering license, so he does some engineering work today, but he's also a local home builder as well. So he's seen both sides of development.
Sure.
I think he's going to be a strong addition to the Planning Commission. He's got a very critical eye when it comes to development, and he's also been a member of the City of Bismarck's Vision Fund most recently, too.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's no stranger to advisory boards, and I think he's going to be a good asset for that group.
Yeah, you've got some real experienced people, that new faces and old on that commission. They're an active group.
Yeah.
Their agendas are pretty heavy.
They are. They handle a lot, and you can tell their workload is sufficient when we're looking at many of the things on the City Commission's agenda, because almost everything that goes through Planning and Zoning Commission will rise up to the City Commission level as well. So,
absolutely. And we televise those meetings. So
yep. Those
if
are
anybody
the
wants to watch
fourth
the
Wednesday of the month,
prior
5
meetings,
o'clock.
They're on the archive as well.
Yeah.
So moving on to the regular agenda last night, real significant recognition happened last night. Apparently, earlier in this year, one of the transit employees put himself in harm's way to protect a client in the paratransit system.
Yeah.
And he was recognized last night, Scott Rorick.
Yep, a very heroic, noble event for Mr. Rorick. There's a picture of him there with his plaque of recognition. So he is essentially, he is an employee of National Express. That is the company that operates the buses for Bisman Transit. And he got between a paratransit rider and a large dog, a pit bull, and did suffer some injuries. My understanding is he was treated and went right back to work the same day. So,
dang, kudos. I want to keep this guy around.
Yeah, kudos to him. And my also understanding is that he's fairly new to his role at wow. Transit. So high fives to him all the way around. That's just tremendous. And National Express, the two folks that are flanking Mr. Rorick are both representatives of National Express. They want to raise this up even further within their organization because this is very exemplary behavior for anybody, quite honestly. But you know, nice job all around for his effort.
He's going to go to a national conference and be recognized
again.
Could potentially even go to their international recognition. But basically, Mr. Rorick put himself between a pit bull that was attacking, and he was also attacked and had stitches and wounds that needed care and went back to work the same day.
That's great.
Yeah, what a guy. Yep. So congratulations to Scott Rorick. It was a well-deserved recognition last night. Last night also, regular agenda moving on, Human Relations Committee gave an annual report to the commission.
Yep.
So there's a variety of things that the Human Relations Committee does for the city. They're kind of a quiet group, but they also need members, and they're also recruiting for board members for that organization.
Right. Yeah.
So some of the things that they do, Jason, tell us about some of the stuff that they do.
They have a human rights poetry contest, which is actually ongoing right now. They also attend and participate in events that promote culture and diversity. One of their big activities, they partner with the high school students at Legacy High School for a dinner, a night in India, a night in the Philippines, a night in Liberia. Those have been the three dinners that they've done over the past 3 years. The students work with people from places around the world and create a cultural dinner. So that's a nice addition to the community. Lots of opportunities there. So
part of their mission is to create awareness for people of other cultures, people who are living in our community, and just being a place where people can go to bring concerns and issues to them
and help
as well.
Foster diversity and human relations in all aspects. So definitely a great group. And if anyone is interested in participating, we do have the application. There's a link to the application on our homepage, bismarcknd.gov. We'd love to have a whole flurry of applicants coming in and people from all different walks of life. That's exactly what we're looking for here.
Yeah.
So if anybody has questions or thoughts, they can call us 355-1300, or they can check out our website. And there's more information. So we'd love to have people that are interested step forward.
I'm assuming that this report that was given last night could be on your website as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is available. It's also part of the agenda packet. So
if
you can find your way to the agenda center, this full report is included with everything else.
Gives you a real good background on what they're spending their time on.
Absolutely.
So regular agenda item that probably took the bulk of the discussion or the time last night at the meeting was the Elk Ridge addition up in the northwest area of Bismarck. This is, it was a public hearing. So there were neighbors there talking about the project. It was an interesting discussion. A lot of testimony. The developers there, the engineer or the design people were all there. So it was it's been ongoing for quite some time. This is not a new project. We knew it was coming.
This, of course, worked its way through Planning and Zoning Commission, and some of the concerns were raised there. As the role of the Planning and Zoning Commission is, it's to hold those hearings and hear those concerns, but then also make a recommendation to the City Commission. The recommendation on the final plat, the annexation, the zoning change, and the park development agreement, the four major components of any new subdivision, was to recommend approval. And we've got a map on the screen here. So we're talking about an area that is directly adjacent to the easternmost addition of Promontory Point. So this is some of that Tyler Cooley area that has slowly been developing over the past 20, 30 years. The concerns from the neighbors, certainly legitimate concerns. They raised up some issues with erosion, stormwater control, some of those things that that are happening in these areas. We're certainly well aware of it. There's also some concerns from the neighbors on traffic movements in and around the area. It's been on the city's plan list for 20 plus years, Tyler Parkway connecting north and south. And right now, Tyler Parkway stops at a significant crossing at the Cooley, but it's also starting to take shape on the northern end. 15th Street, that's coming down from 71st Avenue. Mm-hmm. The county is constructing 15th Street, which will become Tyler Parkway at some point, and that will be a north-south connection.
And that connects all the way to 1804.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it'll be a nice thoroughfare, because we've known for a long time the north-south corridors in this community are very
north,
tough.
North-south are tough. But to the neighbor's point, you know, they're worried about some of the increased traffic volumes.
Certainly,
Tyler Parkway, there's a lot of homes. Driveways right onto Tyler Parkway. We've got a lot of other streets in Bismarck just like that. Mm-hmm. Think about Divide, Washington Street, Calgary Avenue. I mean, there's lots of major roadways that also have driveways.
So. And there were actually four, one motion, but four things happened
right
within that motion. It was mm-hmm. the property was annexed into the city.
Correct.
A zoning change, park development agreement,
right,
and the final plat.
Exactly.
So that all came together last night to move
one,
forward.
In one bundle. And I think it's worth mentioning the new subdivision has a five-acre parcel set mm-hmm. aside for the park district. Park district will be developing that park within the very near future. I would expect that we'll see some dirt work, water and sewer, road construction type things mm-hmm. happening throughout the summer, and potentially even some basements getting dug before the end of the year. I guess that's up to the developers. But having this park is a significant feature in this area. Number one, there aren't any established parks. There's some trails through there and things like that. But this is a nod to an ordinance that we have for
right.
parks and open space.
Yeah.
So it is a requirement that the developer work with the park district to create a neighborhood park. So I think that's a win for everybody in that area. I think it's going to be a nice addition to the neighborhood.
I've been a little confused, because again, I've seen this subject and this mm-hmm. this parcel talked about it at other meetings and planning and zoning in particular. So I was a little confused of where this was. Tyler Parkway, Northwest Bismarck, the Cooley, I'm always thinking of that burnt boat drive. So mm-hmm. I was kind of under that assumption. So I brought up the Google Earth just to see where this all fits. And while this Google Earth shot might be a little bit dated here, because this area is pretty well developed now.
Right. You can see the roadway network getting built at that point.
Where we're talking about where the new development is, are we right in here?
You're on the spot. Yeah, that's
okay.
It. So
it's an area really is very not visible at all to any traffic.
Most people have probably seen it on foot if they've been up in that area, or the same way we're looking at it today from a satellite photo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a remote area, but as this terrain continues to develop, this won't be the last of these type subdivisions that are coming through here.
Yeah.
So,
and you anticipate that this works is moving forward, going to start this spring already?
I would expect something to be happening this year. Yeah,
okay.
Typically. And you know, to the neighborhood's point about stormwater and erosion and concerns like that, just this morning, as soon as I got in the office, Keith Hunke and I were talking about what is our role here. You know, so Keith needs to have some time with Michelle Closey, our mm-hmm. public works director. She's responsible for the stormwater side. And then also Gabe Schell, our city engineer. And figure out how do we address some of these concerns that the neighborhood raised up. We're well aware of these issues as well, but if we're going to move forward with confidence, we might need to tackle some of these things sooner
sure.
rather than later.
Sure. So we'll probably see dirt moving around already this spring.
Design work
is going to start too.
Yep, final design for water, sewer, street plans, all of that will be going on between the consulting engineer and the city staff.
Yeah. And how many lots are we talking?
I want to say it's around 30.
30?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's a continuation of the developers that have already been working in this area,
mm-hmm.
Primarily Eagle Crest and this Boulder Ridge and all this.
Promontory Point.
Yeah.
It's
Elk Ridge Edition.
Yep.
Moving forward. Also last night, and this time of year, time of the season, I guess, a legislative report, number three by Keith Hunke, our city administrator. Anything significant there that you're watching?
There's a number of bills that we're watching. There's some things related to, of course, the prairie dog bill. We've talked about that. I'm sure Jim Neubauer's talked about that one as well. That's a significant one for many communities throughout North Dakota. We're also interested in some of the bills that are talking about moving violations for vehicles, red light runners, stop sign runners, those types of things. But the one that Keith mentioned last night was new to the list. It's part of the State Interoperable Radio Network. SIREN is the acronym that most folks are using. And really what that is, it's a statewide effort for all first responders to get on a on the same communication platform. So radio networks, things like that, are uniform throughout the state. Clearly benefits for first responders, but also a significant cost for communities to adapt and move forward with new technology. So the SIREN bill is the piece that will get everybody on the same network. And then after that, we'll work on how to fund these things. This is an effort that we've been aware of for the past couple of years. So it's not a surprise, but certainly something that we support.
Because no price tag on it at this point?
Not that I'm aware of yet. We have some estimates, but when we know what we're working with after the dust has settled, then we'll have a much tighter number.
Sure. All right. Well, this will be ongoing legislative report at every committee.
Yeah, we're not even quite to crossover yet. Yeah. We've got a couple of weeks, two weeks, I think. Yeah. So we'll keep tracking everything that's going on. Keith has spent quite a bit of time up there, and we think that's great that he's able to help support.
Monitoring that. Big project also moved forward last night, mostly. There was a little bit of a hitch, but the Denison Partners project, which is the multi-use facility at the south end of the Radisson lot in downtown Bismarck.
Yeah. So
it's pretty exciting.
It is. It's a fantastic project. This is a piece of gravel parking lot that the city's owned since
forever,
since the mid-70s.
Since they ripped down the block that was there.
Lamborn Hotel was there first. So, okay. And before that, it was actually St. Alexis. So the city's owned it. It was part of an urban renewal effort back in the 70s. Parking authorities managed it, operated it. It's overflow parking for the Galleria ramp and the Radisson. But the city essentially put it up for sale, said anybody interested, and this group came forward, Denison Partners. It's a local group of architects, landscape architects, contractors, and they've done a nice job of building a nice concept project. They're looking at, of course, as you said, mixed use, 52 apartments ranging from studio all the way up to two-bedroom. Off-street parking would be handled by a variety of the parking ramps that are in the area. And so what was approved last night was their request to be designated as a Renaissance Zone project. So this would have a five-year property tax and state business income tax exemption. But the other request from the group was to extend for another month to allow some technicalities to be worked out with the legal description. We call it a meets and bounds description. That's surveyor lingo. It doesn't have the nicest, cleanest title description, the legal description. So there's a couple of groups that are working to get that resolved, and we should be looking at middle of March to execute a purchase if everything else lines up in the right places. So
it appeared that the amounts have been agreed to. It's just a legal technicality titles.
A few little things at the end to
need to be
tie
redone.
Up loose ends, but certainly critical pieces of the project. I would expect that we'll see some movement on this project throughout the summer as well.
52 residential apartments
ranging from studios up to two bedrooms, so a three-story building. I think it's going to be a nice addition to downtown. One thing that you will notice that is likely to change also, the development group has asked that the city take a look at the alignment of the curb and Main Avenue, particularly between 6th and 7th. Most of us know that there's a right turn lane to peel off when the road transitions from three lanes down or from two lanes down to one. That curb line will likely be brought out, and there will be parking established on that entire block between 6th and 7th.
And we've talked about this before. I think it was Gabe Schell who brought it back, but talked about how this area will better transition. So that curb that change into a one lane will happen actually prior
east
to
7th Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of good
so
things.
So you're pushing it back.
We'll push the transition back. We'll establish some on-street parking for anybody looking to park in the area, and then also straighten out that curb line just a little bit to help vehicles know where the lanes are, where the turning lanes are. You can see some lines on that drawing. It looks like about 10 spaces or so would be created there. So
that makes sense. If you're going to have some retail on that main level, that's going to be important, I think. And the off-street parking, you know, there's a plethora of off-street parking opportunities right in that area.
Yeah.
So,
yep. So the group, the Denizen Partners group, has been working with the Bismarck Parking Authority to finalize the details of where those cars would be and which ramps in the vicinity. And it looks like it's full steam ahead. So I'm excited to see this one come together. I think people are going to recognize that this is going to be a nice addition. The concept drawings are really good as well.
Yeah, so they do look really good.
I think for me, one of the nicest parts about this is a local group that has come together and formed a partnership with a common goal. And it's always nice to see homegrown talent being successful right here in Bismarck.
Well, and consistent with your infill
and redevelopment plan.
You're taking a gravel lot that's belonging to the city,
turning it over to private property, which it'll generate taxes.
Absolutely.
It'll create new housing. It'll create new retail opportunities.
And it's a dense.
It is. It's what you would expect downtown.
Well.
Absolutely.
Right. All happening within not even a half a block.
Right. Are it's about 23,000 square feet.
Third of a block?
Yeah, about a third of a block. A full block is 90,000 square feet, so not even a third.
It's attractive.
So,
yeah.
Wish them all the best. This is a win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah, looks really good. Lastly, on your agenda last night was moving forward on the 43rd Avenue project as much as you can at this point, but
right.
securing a contract with a design engineer,
to help us figure out what does 43rd Avenue look like. And primarily we're talking about the corridor between Washington Street and State Street, the area where we're probably experiencing the most change and the most traffic.
I think there's a lot of eyeballs on what's going on up there with the Cashwise opening up and a lot of development, a lot of retail, a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. So I did notice in the agenda that there's a potential to move this construction up till 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, and that is as fast-tracky as you could probably go on something like this.
And I think it's worth mentioning that this is one of the segments of 43rd Avenue that we talked about specifically when we were looking at the additional half-cent sales tax.
Right.
So now that measure has passed, sales tax collections will begin April 1st. That pool of money will begin to collect, and then through analysis from our city engineer, Gabe Schell, and direction from the commission, they'll start to prioritize those roadways. But looking at where we are right now with some designs getting put together, I'm guessing we're going to be very close to the 43rd Avenue is going to be very close to the top of the list when it all comes together. And by all means, it's very necessary because of the traffic volume.
Yeah.
So for folks that use that area, travel that corridor, live in that neighborhood,
be patient.
Be patient, but relief is coming.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
It has to be designed first before they can
start
building.
Got to get it right on paper before we start pushing dirt around.
Yeah. All right. Well, it'll come back to us again.
We can keep people up to date on that one.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, thanks. We're out of time.
Yeah. Thanks
Just
for having
in time.
Me.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We won't have a gap. We'll be back at the end of the month. So
perfect.
Thanks for being
I'll
here,
be ready.
Jason. All right. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.